That I understood that Harav Meir Tversky Shlita spoke about on Shabbos, the Gemara does Zayin Mabez. The Gemara quotes the statement of Rava, Chayav Adam Bipsume Bipuraya, a person is obligated to become intoxicated on Purim, Ad Lo Yodam in Arahama and Baruch Mordechai, till he does not know the distinction between Arahama and Baruch Mordechai. The Gemara uses the expression Lipsume. How do you translate the word Lipsume? Literally, the word is related to the word besamim, which of course refers to spices. But generally we understand it the way Rashi understands it. It says Rashi, lehishtaker b'yayin. Rashi said to become intoxicated with wine. The Gemara then goes on to relate here an anecdote as follows. Once the Gemara says, the Gemara speaks about two Amoraim.
Rabba Rav Zera.
And the Gemara says, I just want to read the Lashon of the Gemara. Rabba Rav Zera of the Sudas Purim Bahari Adodi. They had the Sudas Purim together. Ifsen. The Gemara uses the same Lashon as it mentioned earlier, Chayav Adam, Chayav Inish Lepsume. The Gemara says, Ifsen. Rabba became drunk. Come Rabba, Shachti the Rabbi Zera. Literally translated, Rabba came and Shachti the Rabbi Zera. Lemachar Boy Rachame. The next day, he went and was misfollowed to Hashem Yisbarach. V'achye. And there was Tchiyas HaMesed. He revived Rav Zera and resuscitated him, brought him back to life. Lishana, the next year, Amale, again he said to him, Nesi Mar v'navet Sudas Purim Badi Adavi. Let's once again have the Suda together, just as we had last year. Amale, he answered, Lo b'chol shaita b'shaita b'svachash nisa. Nisim don't happen every day. We're not zochet the Tchiyas HaMesim on an ongoing daily kind of basis. And of course the maskana seems to be that he did not come to the meal the second year. There is a very fascinating machlokes among the Rishonim and among the Dolei Achronim whether the term shachteh is to be taken literally or not. The Marsha here on the spot, and I also saw in the Ha'aras of Habakkuk of Endin, they don't interpret the Gemara literally. They assume that Shachteh is to be understood b'lashon schita. The shin and the sin undergo metathesis. Schita, as you know, is one of the malachas of Shabbos. Schita is the toldah of dash. When you squeeze a garment, you squeeze the liquid out of a garment, you're over on a malacha called dash. So some interpret the Gemara not in a literal way. Come Rabba, v'sachtei l'Rab Zera. However, there are Rishonim who take the Gemara literally. The Balamar writes over here, quoting Rabbeinu Ephraim, he assumes the anecdote that the Gemara relates, the anecdote of shachtei l'Rab Zera, especially since it falls upon the heels of the Gemara, chayav inish l'tsume b'puraya, that apparently what the Gemara is stating is that we don't pass like Rabba. And it's not proper to become intoxicated on Purim. That's the maskana of the Balamor called Rabbeinu Ephraim. How did he come to that conclusion? Because first the Gemara states the halacha, Chayav Inish L'Psumei. Then the Gemara quotes the Maaseh Rav, This is not uncommon, by the way, in Shas. I can give you a few examples. Maybe I'll just give you one example. Yeah.
If we're not supposed to take the Gemara literally, and he didn't actually shef the rabbi, then so how do we explain the answer that he gives?
If you assume that it's not a literal translation, but it means, as I said before, sachte, it means that he squeezed in, or shall we say, he acted towards him in a fashion which was inappropriate, because that's what happens sometimes when people, shall we say, become somewhat inebriated. They do funny things. Let's keep it that way. And so what the Gemara says subsequently, that he invited him again, and La B'chol Yom HaMisvachash Nisa, one can also interpret that in a similar kind of fashion. When the Gemara uses the term Nes, does not necessarily mean a miracle such as Nes HaMesim, but rather, if you assume that Sachte means that he essentially perhaps even may have engaged in physical kind of behavior towards him, which was of a jarring, impacting kind of nature. So in that sense, that's what the Gemara means, La B'chol Yom HaMisvachash Nisa. I agree, it's a little bit pressed, a little dachuk, I'm asking to you, but still I think the Gemara can be interpreted that way. And what the Baal HaMor suggests, and then Rabbi Ephraim, that the incident, the anecdote that the Gemara quotes, indicates that we don't pass like Rabbah, that seems to be, shall we say, a correct position, and therefore he assumes that one should not become intoxicated on Purim, and he interprets the Gemara literally. You like that interpretation better, and so do I, by the way, because the language of Shachte, there's no reason why I should not assume that, except for the Marsha's problem. As the Marsha, I don't have I forgot to bring my Gemara Megillah, but the Marsha here is bothered by a simple question. Is this the way, shall we say, great Amoraim, great Talmud Chacham behave? It would seem to be absolutely unconscionable that such a thing could happen. And that's the reason why the Marsha, the Rabbi Yaakov Emden, and others came to the Maskana they came to. But you have a similar kind of situation. For example, the Gemara has in Rav Zalman Hay, the famous Machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon Yochai, Rabbi Shmuel and Shimon Yochai, in terms of how one should approach the world. Should one sit and learn Torah all day as a Shimon Yochai's position? And Rabbi Shmuel says, Hanuk ben Lui Gachetz. Then the Gemara has the following statement. After we post that Machlokes, the Gemara says, will also be other. Many people try to follow his tack, sit and learn all day, and they weren't successful because they had no parnasa. They weren't able to provide for themselves. So clearly what the Gemara is saying by the second statement is that we don't paskin like Shimon Yochai, but we paskin like Yisrael. It's a very common kind of pattern that you see in Shas. And this is an example that Rabbi Ephraim, the Baal HaMor quoting Rabbi Ephraim, assumes the anecdote, in effect, is making a statement regarding Pesach Halacha. The Shulchanach, however, the Mechaber quotes this din, and the Ramah, in his Aros, in his glasses, based on the Rambam, makes the following statement. Says the Ramah, once you drink a little bit beyond your normal norm of drinking, and then you fall into a state of somnolence, that is to say, sleep, the result being the inability to be mafkin between Aruch Haman and Baruch Mordechai. That's what the Ramah suggests. As a matter of fact, I myself generally follow this position of the Ramah. I'm not a teetotaler by any means. And I drink perhaps a milliliter, a bit more, and I go to sleep for half an hour or so, and thereby I'm a kayim the Ramah. And that's how I'm a kayim this din, which somehow has become even greater than a din daraisa. It's amazing. Din daraisa people don't fulfill. But this din people are so medactic and so makrid to be mekayim really, be hiduro. Someone even told me, correct, someone even told me that they hope to be mekayim in mitzvah Hashem, the mitzvah Purim on 2 days. They hope to hold your dal in the Beit Shemesh and tesvav in Yerushalayim. You're going to be here in mitzvah Hashem before Shkia on Sunday. And thereby, why are they doing it, I guess then? They're doing it for 2 reasons. But the main reason they told me is because they want to be able to fulfill the mitzvah twice. And they also want to be mekayim the mitzvah Mishloach Manos. They have relatives in Yerushalayim. And they want to really be mekayim. I'm also in Yerushalayim on the second day on Tezvah. And I bring Shloach Manos to Rav Nevinsol Shlita, whom I consider to be my Rebbe, and to my brother, and to other mishpacha that I have here in Yerushalayim. But this is what the Ramos says. Now the Mishnah Berurah, 1 second. The Mishnah Berurah, the Bri Halacha here, is very concerned about this mitzvah, and he asks a question which is a very penetrating question, namely, this mitzvah seems to run counter to the entire ethos of Chazal. In so many different places, Chazal disparage drunkenness. Shichus is something that Chazal do not look kindly. And there are many obstacles that we know for people who become shikorim, and we have actually parshas in Chumash. Namely, which two parshas in Chumash immediately come to the fore? Number one, Noach, and number two, Lot. Number three, actually, another Babiu. How did you mention a third parsha, Menachem? But there are two parshas that are known as Shichus Shel Noach, Shichus Shel Lot. Which one, by the way, was more intense? Noach or Lot?
Noach.
How do you know that?
Noach.
How do you know that?
More perception of the world.
What?
More Lot.
Lot because?
A lot of times they compare drunkenness to the stage of Lot.
You are correct. I'm asking you, how do I know that?
Because
the pasuk says, literally the truth, the psukim say that he was in such a state of drunkenness, he did not even know he was involved in incestuous behavior, living with his own children. You're right. Chazal speak about two different levels, and the Gemara says in Erevin, the famous Gemara, the Chabad calls it Shechanach, Shikala Yisfalel, and there's a whole discussion, what level of Shechus? Of Noach, of Noach. By the way, this is a problem on Purim. Many people come on Purim, especially during the day. Hopefully they're not getting drunk at night. I have a letter here. Maybe I should read it and imitate his voice as well. In respect to the question as to whether it is permissible to drink on the night of Purim with the intention of becoming drunk, the answer is, on the night of Purim, it is certainly not permissible. Because the night of Purim is not different from any other night of the year. Consequently, if anyone becomes drunk on the night of Purim, it is considered as if he became drunk on any other night of the year. Now, what is the din in respect of one who becomes drunk on a regular day, not Purim? The Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos and Pirkei Avos says that in every midah there are two extremes. Switch now. One of excess and one of deficiency. The proper way to be is in the middle. I mentioned it this morning. The Shvil Azor. If he deviates to the extreme, he is a chayte. Other extreme. The reason is that if he deviates to the extreme of deficiency, his kavana. Okay, he has a long arichas. So I'm not going to read the whole thing. But then he basically assumes that this halacha, as the Gemara says, only applies by yom. How do we know it applies only by yom? As opposed to night, the Gemara says, "Sudas purim shasu balayim lo yatsa dechavasa lo yatsa shenema yimei mishter v'simchak sin." Speaks about the day. That's the Gemara. Gemara Megillah. Very good. And he points out here. He actually mentions the story of Rabbi and Rabbi Zeira, and he quotes both pshatim. One pshat is that he squeezed the neck of Rabbi Zeira to such an extent that he became very ill. That's how he interprets it, see? Abaron Soloveitchik interprets it, and that's the nest that follows upon the heels of that. And the other opinion that he mentions, I mean, they're fine, the Balamor, is that it happened literally. Most were shown in Macholek and the Balamor, I mean, they're frightened. Hear what he says? But the Rambam says that the meaning of Adon Lo Yoda is that he has to drink so much that he becomes sleepy. And the Rambam passes like the Rambam. Anyway, Abaron Soloveitchik says, one thing is clear, that there's no mitzvah of drinking at night time. And then he writes also that one becomes drunk, he is not allowed to drive. If he drives, he endangers his own life, and he's over on the Isav, and he endangers the life of others, and he's over on the Isav, and he's over on the Isav, Kadesh Tiyu, he goes on and on. This is Abbas HaMechik. This letter was written approximately 40 years ago. I have a copy of it that I've held on to for many, many years. Anyway, let me just, I'm not going to say something, but I wanted to first finish what I wanted to respond to the Chafetz Chaim who asked this question. Drunkenness is a terrible thing, a terrible vice. How could Chazal tell us it's such a mitzvah? Chayv amasum paraya. It runs counter to everything we know in Chazal. Answers the Chafetz Chaim, the Bi'al Lacha, that since the nisim of Purim occurred through the medium of partying, Vashti, Esther, Haman, therefore, we become inebriated. Zechon the Nes, however, says the Chafetz Chaim, and I quote some Achronim. If it will lead to any negative consequences, missing Tfilas Mincha, missing Tfilas Meirah, engaging in any other act of levity which is inappropriate, then it should be shunned. And it's very interesting that the Rambam in Mishnah Torah and the Mechab in Shulchan Aruch, where did they include this law? They included this law under what rubric? Under the rubric of Sudas Purim. The Shita Zalamim is very clear. It's a kiyum in the Suda, that one should drink in the Suda, part of the Sudas Purim. But just go ahead and drink and carry on, and shall we say, become involved in just drunkenness, that clearly is not in sync with the Shita Zalamim. And those the conclusion from this categorization of the Mechaber and the Rambam militates against wanton drunkenness and places the mitzvah of drinking in the context of a Sudas Purim. That gives it focus and direction. As a matter of fact, there's a famous brisker of Rabbi Elbel Soloveitchik, that's all. He was mafkin, he distinguished between the Simcha as far as Yom Tovim and the mitzvah of Simcha and Purim. The Rambam writes in Perek Vodach Yom Tov, the Rambam codifies the law of Simcha and Yom Tov, and basically the Rambam understands Simcha, there's a Maisa Mitzvah, the Kiyama Mitzvah. What is the Maisa Mitzvah for a man? To eat meat and drink wine. For a woman, to buy her beautiful clothing. For a young child, the Gemara says, Klaus Vergozim, we just had him Tzochim. But Klaus Vergozim, today I told you, means probably buying him a Lexus or something like that. But whatever the case is, there's a Maisa Mitzvah, but what is the Kiyama Mitzvah? The inner joy that one should feel. So a woman, when she wears beautiful clothing, she has inner joy. A man, when he has a good steak, has inner joy. But the mitzvah, again, is that's the Maisa Mitzvah. The inner mitzvah is the inner joy that one should, in effect, feel that one is in the presence of Hashem Yisbarach. And it's borne out by a pasuk in Shir HaShirim that the pasuk says, Zeh Yom Asa Hashem, Nogila Benismecha Bo. And the Medrash asks, what does that mean? This is the day that Hashem has wrought. Let us rejoice and be happy in it. Are we rejoicing in Him, in Hashem Yisbarach, or in the day? Nagila v'nitzmecha bo. What is the antecedent of bo? So what does it refer to? What would you say? So both are possible, but the Medrash says that rejoicing is in Hashem, in the Almighty. And this is the situation vis-a-vis all Yom Tov. However, says the Brisker of regarding Purim, Purim is different. There the essence of the Simcha is the partying itself. That is the mitzvah. And that's why Chazal enacted the law of Lipsume. Okay, there were a few comments. Yes, Malcolm.
When Rabbi drinks and then goes to sleep, does Rabbi bench first?
What I do, actually, I think I told you, I follow the position, which I think is the correct position to do if one possibly can. I daven early on Purim morning. Okay. Sure, Rabbi Olshan will speak about that. He does every year, about the Koach HaTfilah of Purim. And then after I daven early and hear the Megillah, right away I'm making the mitzvah of Matan Sevyonim, the Shach Manos, Miyad have a Suda, Miyad drink, Miyad go to sleep, and after that my day begins.
But benching when you wake up or before you go to sleep?
No, of course I bench before I go to sleep.
So that's not in the middle of the Suda, like the Rambam said.
No, so what I do is I do it in the middle of the Suda, obviously. I have a Suda.
But if you're going to sleep after the benching, then you're not being Yosei Akaloyada, like the Rambam.
Akasha. That's Akasha, which I'm also troubled by, but I decided that of the two, it's better to take this option. But it's a good kasha. I'm bothered by that kasha also. Several people asked me that question already on my own behavior. Perhaps I can answer it.
It's a question on the Ramah, no?
Yeah, it's a question on the Ramah. Very good kasha. Yeah.
Does it matter what you drink?
Yes. You're not permitted to drink liquor.
Only wine.
Only wine. The mitzvah is dafka wine. That's what the Mishnah Berurah is saying.
I'm
sorry?
What?
I see. Anyway, yes.
There's so many questions on if this Gemara is taken literal or not, but there's so many other Gemara that we take it straight just by the plain shot. How come this one, we have to try to find Heterium and this and that? Why don't we just take it literally like everything else?
Okay, that's a very good question. It's a valid question. I would have to respond to it as part of a general kind of response. But I will tell you, because here we're talking about doing something which is, as the Mishnah Berurah himself indicates, so completely jarring to everything the Chazal speak about. Chazal speak about Kedoshim Tiyu, Chazal speak about Kaddish Asmach of the Butalach, Chazal speak about a person being a novel Mishnah Satorah, a scoundrel, healer with the mission of the Torah. Many people use Berurah as an opportunity to get drunk. Why not? I can get drunk with a license. The Torah gives me a license, the Chazal gives me a license. This is something which the very essence of this entire mitzvah seems to be so not in tandem with the spirit of Chazal, the ethos of Chazal. That's really what causes Chazal, a Rishonim, not to interpret this Gemara in a literal kind of way. Mashiach and other Gemaras, I agree with you that there's no reason why you should not interpret them literally. But my point is simply that I want to read a Rambam in Hilchos Yom Tov Perek Vav. The Rambam says when the person eats, drinks, and is happy on Yom Tov, he should not be drawn after wine. And he thinks that by indulging in wine, he'll intensify the mitzvah of simcha. Says the Rambam, no, because drunkenness, levity, and laughter, which do constitute simcha, but the Rambam calls it tipshus, boisterousness, foolishness. We're not commanded to do that. We're commanded to be Oved Hashem b'simcha. So it's very clear from that Rambam that what is the thrust of Simchas Yom Tov? Simchas HaNefesh. The sense that one is in the presence of Hashem is Barach, and the means to that end is by eating and drinking. In sharp contrast, the Mitzvah Purim, as they quoted for the Rizk Rav, is the physical act of drinking. But again, the Meiri that's quoted by the Mishnah Berurah enjoins us against boisterousness and silliness. The Simcha has to lead to Avas Hashem. And Chazal used the expression, I'm sure you're familiar with it, Nichnas Yayin, Yasa Sod. The wine comes in, the secret comes out. That's a barometer. Where am I holding in my Avodas Hashem? What does that mean? The Gemara in Megillah has many times, and the Medrash describes that great length. Achashverosh and his partying, right away, the moment they drink, Bayom Ashvi, Kitovlev, Avalach Bayoyin, the Gemara describes Achashverosh and his shallow value system, his rapidity. You basically have drunkenness, a state of intoxication, and right away, what emerges? What emerges is sexuality writ large. That's Al Chazal, the Gemara Megillah. You familiar with that Gemara?
Okay.
You didn't learn Megillah with the.
I don't have the splish.
With the Chavra? Okay, but there's no Issa.
They're saying which girls they like the best.
Correct. You hear? Right away, the discussion, which girls, shall we say, are the most sensual? Which ones are the most...
Parson, the Midian,
correct.
Klishani,
Mishra. Right, exactly. That's what Chazal and Rashi... The Gemara says it very clearly, because the Gemara comments, is it possible that heretofore his heart was not saved with wine? So Rava says, the seventh day was Shabbos, and Klal Yisrael Jews eat and drink. We start with Divrei Torah, with Divrei Sherach to Hashem Yisbarach, but the idolaters, the non-Jews, they eat and drink, and they begin words of tiflos, of immodesty and vulgarity, and as Aaron Rob and Ashlita described, what happens is, eventually and very quickly, they become, shall we say, wallowing in sex and the like. So a teetotaler can be judged by the end products of his drinking. The Avosav Nosson says, Ado Nikar, how Bikiso, Bikoso, Ubikaso. That means the following, the way Marabim understood this. Person is recognized bikiso, bikis, how he spends his money. Is he a tightthrift? Is he someone who's a spendthrift or a tightwad? Is he someone who's niggardly, parsimonious, or is someone who's, shall we say, willing to, Baruch Hashem, spend his money and give stock and what have you? Bikoso, the way he drinks. That's how you are recognized. The bikaso, some people, the moment they, shall we say, something doesn't go in their favor, they become furious. They become angry. Angered very quickly. So if what emerges are words of Torah and Shema to Hashem Yisbarach, that means you have internalized the Torah of El Cham. If what emerges are words of vulgarity and profanity and immodesty and everything else, that's a sign of what in Yiddish is called apustakeli. Apustakeli means an empty, vapid utensil. I know Greg Gedolah Yisrael who drank on Purim. Avigdor Levinsohn Shlita. Agoy. Mora. Alevi, sorry, Shibbol Aviv, as he writes, he drinks on Purim, and I go to him every single Purim, and then what comes out of him is unbelievable. Gramin throughout Shas, gramin throughout Tanakh. It's unbelievable. We have to get him drunk every day. He's more mechadish on Purim than he's probably the rest of the year. He's mechadish the rest of the year, Baruch Hashem, quite well. And Rabach Ber. Rabbi Reichman, one of his favorites. Rabbach Ber! Did he get drunk on Purim? And Gramin came out all over the place. Gramin with Divrei Torah. So that's Sod Hashem, the Reyav, Nichnas Yayin, Yatzat Sod. On the other hand, many people see Purim as an opportunity for orgiastic, drunken revelry. they stumble and falter. I can tell you stories about Purim galore. I have decades of experience with the Purim drunks. And what emerges from their drunken stupor and depression is nothing short of a veritable Chil Hashem. A sign of their vapidity, of their shallowness, of their emptiness. Ba'borek! Ein bo'mayim! Abomayesh nechoshim v'akrabim. That's the soul that emerges. And I just want to mention a pasuk in Koheles where the Tzohar Melech says, the simcha mazu v'osa, what's the nature of that simcha? The answer is that simcha is pathological. That simcha is non-Jewish in origin, doesn't even have a shmek of Torah, not even a reich of Torah, wild orgiastic behavior. And there's no question there's an avodah of simcha. How do I know what the parameter for genuine simcha is? The answer is the Gemara Ma'ikotin. The Gemara says Ma'ikotin is talking about in the wake of the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, they went home. Smeichim b'tovei leiv. They were happy, they were content over the chesed, over the hatava that Hashem bestowed on David HaMelech and Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara here derives from the word smeichim, it was smeichim from the Hashuas HaShechina. How do you know if it's an authentic simcha shel mitzvah or not? The answer is pasha. If the simcha engenders an aliyah, it's from Mus HaNevesh, like that, akin to that of the two gedolim that I mentioned, a spiritual ascent, a sense of elevation, and its enduring impact lingers on for a protracted period of time, that's a sign of genuine simcha. If, however, the result of the gaiety is pure hangover for 3 days, 4 days, 1 week, where a person does not function, then that experience is vacuous, devoid of any content, and perhaps even has negative consequences. Maybe I'll tell the story, I should tell it, but I'll tell it anyway. In a certain yeshiva, there was a gentleman who became extremely drunk on Torah. And he was out of control, totally. And they quickly had to take him, grab him, almost shackle him, bring him to his room, lock the door. And he was screaming at the top of his lungs, shouting, banging, let me out of here, let me out of here. And on and on and on. And the Rosh Yeshiva of this particular yeshiva heard what was happening and quickly ran to see what's happening. And the following conversation ensues. He knocks on the door, and the fellow says, of course in Yiddish, very from, there is us! Who is that? So he answered, the Rosh Yeshiva, all of a sudden quiet. Absolute quiet. Then run around, bang it, bang it, bang it! Again knock, there is us! Rosh Yeshiva, quiet. Again running around, bang it, bang it, bang it! Screaming, bang it! This happened 3 or 4 times. Then Father Bashir says, Evan and the deer, open the door! And he answers, Ein minut, 1 minute. A minute later, he opens up the door. The fellow was standing in his birthday suit. But he went to get his hat out of respect for the Bashir. There's a pasuk at the end of the Megillah that tells us, "V'me'a Purim va'ilan lo yagru mitoch haYehudim." The Purim is always going to remain with us. V'zichron lo yosim mizaram. Even during the Imos HaMashiach, as opposed to all the other Moadim that we rendered null and void. I heard from Moreno Harav, Agoin, Avigdor Levinsohn, Shlita, Alevi, Tzora Shemelaviyim, Rav Shalir Atika. He told me the name of Moreno Harav, the name of his Rebbe. There's one element of Purim that will not endure. What element is that? The mitzvah of Adel Yada. Why? Said Hashem Zalman, because the obligation to drink is founded upon the fact there are many tzaras in the world, and it's very difficult for people who are in tzaras to achieve the simcha of Adel Yada unless they become what? Inebriated. There was a Rebbe I had many, many years ago, decades ago, who felt that I was too brisk in my approach. And he wanted me on Purim to be simcha day. And so he went ahead and did something which one is not permitted to do to anyone. He somehow got some, shall we say, alcoholic beverage in one of my drinks. And I drank it unwittingly. And not even realizing, and I became somewhat, shall we say, inebriated. And he thought that was gewaldic. Finally, a little simchat of you. And so Rav Shlomo Zalman held, with the advent of Yevos HaMashiach, there won't be a need for Adelo Yada. You know why? Because the kiyum of the pasuk in the Navi will be fulfilled. What pasuk? Umola ha'aretz deya es Hashem kamayim layom chasim. We'll achieve that deya without Adelo Yada. So the fact is that we should rejoice on Purim, we should be merry, but primarily we should realize that the reason why we are besimcha is because the Gemara says in Makkos in Shabbos, kiyumu b'kiblu, kiyumu mashikiblu kvar, kabbalas ha'teira. That should be the reason for our simcha, as opposed to just Rachmana Litzlan becoming drunk and totally wallowing in drunkenness. Already a number of times people have come to my home, a bunch of young men dressed in all kinds of costumes and what have you, and then on a number of occasions they decided to do their thing. You know what I'm referring to. It was very unpleasant for my wife and for myself and for our whole family when they did their thing, as it were.
They expectorated,
correct? Somehow all the liquor or all that they drank decided to emerge on my floors. And then they simply, of course, departed without doing anything beyond that as well. They're very unfortunate they have this kind of behavior, which is absolutely unconscionable. And we want to have a real Purim, where we have real simcha, real avodas Hashem, kiyum v'kiblum, halavai v'shem zav to such a Purim. Yes?
So once the Mashiach comes and we still have the holiday of Purim, we still maintain the mitzvah of le'agonim?
According to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, the answer is yes. All the other mitzvahs, yes, with the exception of Adelo Yada. Very beautiful idea that Rav Shlomo Zalman said. It's a chiddush. Tremendous chiddush. But he was modern chiddushim. Full of chiddushim. Okay. Yeah.
How come the other modim will cease to...
This is based on the pasuk. The pasuk says, V'imei ha-purim ha'ele lo yavu mitoch ha-yehudim b'zichum v'yosem b'zahem. Take a look at the Rambam at the end of the Purim. If you want, I'll discuss it with you. Believe that. We're still in the middle of something else.
Yeah.
So perhaps we will try to do both in the near future. I have to actually go to a chasana, that's why I'm stopping. I hope you don't mind. If you, I apologize. I have to...